really dark today. We're watching you on the studio cam, and you really have a subdued mood. Well, it rhymes, subdued mood. I am subdued, but it doesn't matter. Don't be thrown about. Don't be blown about by winds of teaching, or don't be blown about by your own moods. Hi, everybody. Buddy Martin Sender here. Don't be blown about by your own moods. You can be destroyed by your own moods if you let them do that. Don't get moody about your moods. Just have your moods. Don't get moody about it. Keep it at level one. Level one. Level one moodiness is just being moody. Level one worry is just being worried. Level one upset is just being upset. You take it to level two when you're upset about being upset, worried about being worried, and the other thing about being whatever I just said. So we don't want this to happen. So just keep it at level one. Level one. And yeah, moodiness, right? You don't want to get moody about being moody. So I'm glad God brought this about, because by this means I can explain this to you. So I can read a wonderful passage like 1 Thessalonians 4. And I can read it in a so-so mood, and it doesn't affect the truth of it. You know how people think that when they think bad about somebody, like, boy, I can't stand that girl. She really did me wrong. And the next day, something terrible happens to that girl. And then you think, like, oh my gosh, my thoughts brought that about. No, that's not true. You might as well say that, you know, you stick pins in a voodoo doll to cause somebody problems. I can somehow hurry along God, or I can delay God by praying or certain things like that. But no, 1 John 5:17 it is, says that, if we pray anything according to his will, he is hearing us. So God's will comes first, and God's will is like a line of railroad track that has been laid before the foundation of the earth, and that train is going where it's going, and it's not going to be diverted, and you're on the train, and you can pray your brains out to have the train go some other route, but it's not going to, because the track has been set. What you do is you find out from the itinerary where the train's going, and then you pray in accord with God's will. If you're on a train going from Chicago to New York, you can pray all you want to see New Orleans, and you're not going to see it. So you look at the itinerary, and you say, oh, look, looks like Albany is on the itinerary. Yeah, sure. So then you say, I want to pray to see Albany. So you become acquainted with God's will. Then you pray in accord with his will. And God's wants become your wants. That's what we want to do with prayer. God wants become our wants. There's a verse that says God will give you the desires of your heart. So many people think that desires is a verb. I mean, is a noun, the desires of my heart. I desire a new car. I desire a new house. I desire a new job. And so God will give me the desires of my heart. Nouns, nouns, nouns. No. God will give you the desires, verbs of your heart. That's a verb. The desires, verb. He will give you the desires. He will change your desires. Did you notice that as you walk in Christ, you have different desires than you had when you were a heathen teenager, right? I hope so. Anyway, so he gives you your desires, and you just let it happen. Let it happen. Don't fight the inevitable, because in most cases, this is good. So I'm going to read this passage. I started it yesterday. For this, we are saying to you, I'm in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Got to contrast this. Going to jump ahead to Revelation 11. That's right, today. I'm going to the throne, to the temple section, Revelation 11:15, and I'm going to show you the seventh trumpet being blown. I mean, we got six trumpets to go before that. And I'm going to spend time showing you these trumpets. And this is going to be the most meaty part, I think, of the whole series, possibly. These seven trumpets, especially the sixth trumpet, which is the second woe. Unbelievable. For that, I'm going to have to go back to Daniel and show you the four beasts rising out of the sea. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to do it. But we can't go into these trumpets thinking that the last trump that's going to take the body of Christ to heaven is the same as the seventh trump of Revelation. So I'm just firming that up for you this week if you don't know it already. For we who are believing, because judgment and grace are way different things. We don't come into judgment, and that's what the seven trumpets are about, okay? If we are believing that Jesus died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose will God, through Jesus, leap forth together with him. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we the living who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, there is a generation that survives to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. One advantage the dead have, well, maybe two. They're not alive to see all the crap going on today. The other advantage is that they are raised before the living. They won't outstrip those who are put to repose. We won't. We won't get ahead of them. We won't race ahead. And they haven't raced ahead of us. They're not up there waiting for us. And when we get there, they're going to go, "Oh, dude, you should have been here in 1571. That was the best year ever up in heaven. You've missed centuries of bliss." No, the Apostle Paul is going to get this thrill the same moment we do. Apostle Paul's dead. Adolf Hitler is just as dead. Hitler and Paul have this in common. They are both dead. They have no sensations. There's no knowledge of time in the grave. Their difference comes at resurrection. Hey, that's a big difference there. Big difference. But not now. There's no difference. And here's this. Here's the thing. 16. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger. That's him. The shout of command is the voice of the chief messenger. The Concordant has this capital C, capital M. Jesus Christ is the chief messenger. And with the trumpet of God. Who has the trumpet of God? The same one who is descending from heaven with a shout of command and the voice of the chief messenger, namely the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. What happens then? Thereupon, the dead in Christ shall be rising first with the first blow of the trump. Thereupon, we the living who are surviving shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord, so that console one another with these words. I soothe you today with these words. Listen to this quote from A. E. Nock in The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. In his delight to deal out grace, Jesus, he brooks no intermediaries or agents. No intermediaries. I refuse to have any intermediaries when this wonderful time is coming to get my body. And he's hungry for it. And he longs for it. And so he's going to brook no intermediaries. Nobody's going for me. Angel says, let me go. No, get out of here. I'm doing this myself. He loves it. But in judgment, he stands back and sends his messengers to execute his will. There you have it. That's why the seventh trumpet is blown by messengers. And that's what we're going to see here. So I'm going to read that again. In his delight to deal out grace, he brooks no intermediaries or agents. In judgment, however, he stands back and sends his messengers to execute his will. The seventh trumpet is sounded by messengers. And voices in heaven proclaim the advent of the king and his kingdom. Not so when he comes for us. The Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger and with the trumpet of God. The trumpet is indeed sounded by a messenger, but it's the Lord himself, the chief messenger. Here, he's the chief messenger, the chief of all. No one else is called that. In all, he has the preeminence. He is the chief messenger. His voice alone can wake the dead. His blast alone can change the living. Now I'm going to go to the unveiling chapter 11. I'm going to show you the difference. One of the differences, Revelation 11:15, and the seventh messenger trumpets. That's the seventh trump, the seventh messenger, not the chief messenger. It's a small M here. And loud voices occurred in heaven, not the voice of the chief messenger, saying, the kingdom of this world became our Lord's and his Christ's, and he shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. Amen. And the 24 elders who are sitting on their thrones before God fall on their faces and worship God, saying, who are thanking thee, Lord God Almighty. They're not very good at grammar, these elders. We are thanking thee, Lord God Almighty, who art and who wast, and thou hast taken thy great power and dost reign. And the nations are angered, and thy indignation came in the era for the dead to be judged, and to give their wages to thy slaves, thy prophets, and to the saints, and to those fearing thy name, the small and the great, to blight those who are blighting the earth. This is going to happen at the great white throne, many, many years later after that. In fact, an entire eon. And open was the temple in heaven, and all these things happen, and seen was the ark of... You don't hear anything about the saints of Israel coming forth. Lightnings, voices, thunders, and an earthquake and great hail occurred. Chapter 12, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon. Look at verse 3, and another sign in heaven, lo, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, and on its head 7 diadems, and its tail is dragging a third of the stars. This is still judgment going on. The last judgments before the coming of the kingdom. Contrast that with the Lord himself shall be descending with a shout and with the trumpet of God, not the seventh messenger blowing a trumpet. It's not even called the trumpet of God in Revelation 11:15. It's merely the sounding of the seventh messenger. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says in verse 45, if there is a soulish body, there's a spiritual also. Thus it is written also, the first human, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam, a vivifying spirit. But not first the spiritual, but the soulish, thereupon the spiritual. Now we had a problem in 1 Thessalonians, and it was that there are going to be some saints who are alive when he comes, because there's a day on which this is going to happen. It's not going to be like everybody's going to die first, and then Jesus is going to be such a giant gulf of time. Then Jesus is going to come for us. No, it's not that at all. It's going to happen on a Thursday or a Friday. And that day's going to come and some of the body of Christ are going to be standing at Walmart or in the shower or wherever they are, running down the road, going for a jog, sleeping. I don't know. And Jesus is going to come, so he's going to change them where they stand. Now, here's another problem in 1 Corinthians 15, and he's going to change the dead first. But in 1 Corinthians 15, we have the broader problem of mortal bodies needing to put on immortality. And for this, they need to change. That's why you need to change. And it's a more drastic, radical change than the change needed for Israelites, because they're going to remain on the earth. Very important distinction there. If there is a soulish body, and there is, here it is, here it is. See my soulish elbow on the studio cam? If there is a soulish body, there's a spiritual also. Good, I have a corresponding spiritual body waiting for me. Thus it is written also, the first human became a living soul, the last Adam a vivifying spirit. That's the order of things. First the soulish, afterwards that which is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But not first the spiritual, but the soulish, thereupon the spiritual. Yes, of course. I would hate it if it was the other way around. Spiritual first, then soulish. We're going to start in heaven with wonderful spiritual bodies, and then we're going to look forward to coming down here to earth and decaying, mortal, stinky, crappy, broken, down flesh buggies. That would be disastrous, but that's not the way he does it, and I'm glad God doesn't do it that way. The first man was out of the earth, soilish. He uses the word soulish, now soilish. Soulish has to do with your feelings, your emotions, and we're ruled by those now. Some of us more than others. But the soilish, we're all made of the same substance. We're made out of the soil. Thus it is written also, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam, a vivifying spirit, but not first the spiritual, but the soul. Got it. Verse 47. Got it. And here it is, verse 45. And according as we wear the image of the soilish, we should be wearing the image also of the celestial. Now this I'm averring, brethren, verse 50, that flesh and blood, all this flesh and blood I've been talking about, not only the soilish, but the soulish, is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God, neither is corruption enjoying an allotment of incorruption. Lo, a secret to you I'm telling. There has to be a radical change here. We all indeed shall not be put to repose. Confirmation with 1 Thessalonians 4, we all shall not be put to repose, because some of us are going to be alive when Christ returns for us, before he returns for Israel. Yet we all shall be changed. That's the common denominator. Common denominator here is change. The uncommon denominator is that some are going to be dead, some are going to be alive. We shall be changed in an instant, in the twinkle of an eye. This translation sucks, twinkle. I'm going to explain that to you tomorrow. It's the casting of an eye. It's a great truth. I'm going to bring this out to you. Nobody else that I know brings this truth out. At the last trump, there it is, the last trump. It corresponds with 1 Thessalonians, that the trumpet of God. For he will be trumpeting. There it is, verse 52. For he will be trumpeting. He will be trumpeting. Capital H, not the messenger. The chief messenger will be trumpeting. And the dead will be roused incorruptible, and we shall change. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. This happens at the last trump. So look at this. We all shall be changed in an instant at the last trump. That happens at the last trump. Everybody's changed. For he will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused. That's the one of the... This is a series of trumpet blasts. This first one wakes the dead, for he will be trumpeting and the dead will be roused. But at the last trump, everybody's changed. So to say that the seventh trumpet of the unveiling 11 has to be this, because seventh trumpet is the last of a series, nobody sees a series here. I do. It's plainly here. There is a series of trumps at the last trump. He will be trumpeting and the dead will be roused. And then at the last trump, the dead and roused will be changed together. I love it when I make this much sense.